Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. The Inner Game is about our inner life, the practices and healing work we do to live our most authentic life and make a bigger contribution with the area of purpose that calls to us. Typically, these are conversations with people who are making that evolutionary contribution with their lives. But from time to time, I share some thoughts myself, and today I'm sharing a talk I gave recently called The Beauty of the World. It's about how following and creating more beauty in our lives inspires us toward our true north, or what we care about most and want to be in service to with our lives. Here's that talk. This is my life day, June 6th. 28 years ago today, so that's exactly half my lifetime ago, I was hiking with my boyfriend at the time in East Snowmass Creek, and it was a big snow year, and we had to turn back not far up the trail. And we'd seen a pretty waterfall only about a mile up the trail and decided to climb down there to have lunch. And I don't remember even starting to slip, but I did. And I tumbled 150 feet down a ravine and off a 40-foot cliff into East Snowmass Creek. And although over the next few hours after the fall and over the next few months after the fall, I experienced several near-death experiences, I lived. Yeah. So special day to be kind of checking in with this stuff. You know, I actually had my open heart surgery in the same hospital in Maine where my father died of cancer when I was 16. And the greatest gift of, one of the greatest gifts of his death and the collapse of my family that happened along with it was the opportunity to live my life as I was called. You know, self-guided, in alignment with my own truth, because there was no one around really holding up the hoops anymore to jump through. So to live life as a calling, like, which for me has been to figure out how to learn along the way, how to live in conscious partnership with the evolutionary impulse. You know, to understand the role of beauty in the evolutionary process, the role of the birds singing and the flowers that bloom just because. Yeah, we could say, you know, they're drawing the pollinators to them, and it's this magical expression of beauty that drives the whole wheel of life, right? I recently found out that the word for beauty in Greek is kalon, which has its origin in kalin, a calling, and kalo, which means I call. And this is related to the great creation stories where the world is called or named into being. In the Bible, God created everything out of that void of darkness and proclaimed it all good. Genesis says God saw that that he had made, all that he had called into being, and called it good, beautiful. So the original act of creation is described as kalos, the good, the beautiful. And the first thing he created, of course, was light. And there's nothing more attractive to us than light. It calls us forth, we associate it with love. And we know the law of attraction, you know, what we put our attention toward expands. The very act of attention is creative. It's not just this New Age principle, it's a law of physics that intuitively makes sense to us. And the sensitivity of our scientific instruments, you know, to measure and observe, show us that particles come into being due to our observation. It's a whole particle or wave thing. Particles could be observed, but when they're unobserved, they dissolve back into that void, that unified field of everything. So each of us, we're just these bundles of intention here to learn and make us feel whole, contribute. So we evolve toward greater love and beauty. Like, that's the trajectory. That's what Martin Luther King said. Like, everything goes toward greater love. And it doesn't look like that sometimes. We take the two steps forward and the one step back, or the many steps back sometimes. But it's, you know, you can see over the course of time that trajectory of evolution. It's unavoidable to now kind of be able to take that in. So there's something very inherent in beauty that's about creating out of alignment with what we value most, what we find beautiful, which is distinct from glamorous. Like, glamour has its roots in the Scottish word that's about actually a magic spell, something not real, right?
Yeah.
But beauty is that reflection of what we love and value most. What we find authentically beautiful connects us to what we love and value. It's like feeling that really deep connection. And I think of like solar panels and gardens, how so many HOAs have outlawed things like clotheslines and solar panels and gardens because they're somehow not aesthetically pleasing. But for those of us who like really deeply love the planet, when we see a solar panel, it's beautiful to us. When we see a clothesline or a garden, it's like, oh, beauty. Because that's the representation of what we, of the care and the honor of what we love about our planet. And something beautiful about gardens, and I remembered this from my years of working on anti-poverty strategies and legislation, gardens reduce crime rates. And this is from a National Academy of Sciences study of Philadelphia neighborhoods below the poverty line. Creating gardens in vacant lots reduced overall crime by more than 13% and dropped gun violence by nearly 30%. Wow. So burglary and vandalism also dropped like 20 to 30% due to the gardening. And it's a cheap intervention. It doesn't cost a lot to put in a garden. And the report suggested that, you know, cities might acquire landscaping grants from the Department of Justice as a crime-fighting tool, or health departments, you know, as a mental health promotional tool, because people feel less stressed when they feel safer and when they connect to beauty. And the word aesthetic is also really fascinating. It's about what a person thinks is beautiful, the study and appreciation of beauty and art, something that's appealing to us. The word anesthetic, a substance that induces insensitivity to pain, can be local to, you know, numb an area like Novocaine or general anesthesia, you know, when it puts you right under. Etymologically, it combines an, which means away from or not, and aesthetic, which means the ability or sense to perceive beauty. And it's often what we do when life gets painful or overwhelming. We numb out and we call it self-care. But it takes our awareness, our ability to experience beauty, is like, that's the way back to life. The way to beauty is through beauty. Beauty and love heal and generate a new world. So how can we catalyze and serve the natural progression of evolution? I wanted to share some powerful practices that I've been playing with for a long time that help stay established. God knows, in any moment of the day, we get thrown out of the saddle and get into the doom and gloom, especially if we turn on the radio or look at stuff on social media. It's like, ah, you know, and you can just get really down that rabbit hole. And so it takes a little something, sometime, you know, like listening to a song, being out in our favorite places, to reestablish ourselves in that very powerful connection to what's beautiful to us, what we love and value most. Most of these are, I have under my practice title of upshift. Like if I want to make an upshift, like I notice that the world is kind of causing me to downshift, and I'm like kind of not feeling my fullness, I know it's time for an upshift. So I dig into that part of the toolbox. So, and a lot of these also fall into the to a category of something called appreciative inquiry. It's something that's getting a lot more play these days in sort of leadership training circles and organizational management. And basically, it's about shifting our orientation to the challenge that we, problem that we're trying to solve, from an appreciative orientation. So from what's going right, what do I have, not what do I don't have at my disposal? What's amazing? What's uplifting? So I also call this putting on the love glasses. So you look through a filter of appreciation or love. And the main kind of cognitive filter that I use is everything without exception, even this challenge, this problem that I'm facing, is happening for my highest evolutionary potential. Especially this problem. All showing up for me. Because we learn to focus on what's wrong and what we don't have, you know, what we're lacking. It's just a habit. It's like it's a place we naturally go as well under stress, to our lowest common denominator. Just happens all the time. So that's just a very helpful thing to remember, you know, to get into the practice of just noticing that we you know, we often go down the rabbit hole of how bad things are, or what we're lacking in ourselves. And to remember to look through that filter of all of this is showing up for me. It's a gift for my highest evolutionary potential. A couple of things I have on my computer that I can switch to really quickly are a couple of sites that I'll share. One is called dailygood.org. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, and they will send you a daily email. And their stuff is always beautiful and great and uplifting. The second one is similar. It's called thegoodnewsnetwork.com. And, you know, if you find yourself on social media, I know you guys probably don't do any of that at all. But if you do and, you know, get a little like triggered, you could just switch on to one of these sites. And they are the love filter. They've filtered everything on there of their content is uplifting. And it's the good news, you know, what people are doing right. And I want to share a story that I recently saw on one of these sites. And just kind of imagine, you know, that you're feeling a little bit anxious or stressed and something's not going right. And you remember, God, I really need a good story, something inspiring right now. And you pop onto one of these sites and read something like this. In 1901, a boy was born in a poor neighborhood of New Orleans known as the back of town. He was the grandson of slaves. His father abandoned the family when the child was an infant. His mother became a prostitute, and the boy and his sister had to live with their grandmother. Early in life, he proved to be gifted for music, and with three other kids, he sang in the streets of New Orleans. His first gains were coins that were thrown to them. A Jewish family, Karnofsky, who had emigrated from Lithuania to the USA, had pity for the seven-year-old child and brought him into their home, initially giving work in the house to feed this hungry child. There he remained and slept in this Jewish family's home, where for one of the first times in his life, he was treated with kindness and tenderness. When he went to bed, Mrs. Karnofsky sang him a Russian lullaby that he would sing with her. Later, he learned to sing and play several Russian and Jewish songs. Over time, this boy became like an adopted son of this family. The Karnofskys gave him money to buy his first musical instrument, as was the custom in Jewish families. They sincerely admired his musical talent. Later, when he became a professional musician and composer, He used Jewish melodies in some of his compositions. The young black boy grew up and wrote a book about this Jewish family who had adopted him in 1907. In memory of this family and until the end of his life, he wore a Star of David and said that in this family he had learned how to live real life and determination. You might recognize his name. This little boy was also called Louis Satchmo Armstrong. Louis Armstrong proudly spoke fluent Yiddish, and Satchmo is Yiddish for big cheeks, a nickname some say was given to him by Mrs. Karnofsky. So can you feel the upshift?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just remember how gorgeous people are, especially people who've been through such suffering. It's like the people who have least are often the ones who give most. And it's this beautiful thing about humankind. And you remember that we're not all bad and snarky and selfish and whatever the media wants us to remind us that we are. Like, we need those upshifts so often as the antidote to so much that's around us. I saw this somewhere recently, that beauty is a dialogue between perceiver and perceived. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about these different examples. Like last summer, I bought at the end of all the plant sales, I bought these kind of tired, almost dead little nasturtiums, and I put them in my garden. And I just thought, you know, I'll just see if they'll come back to life. And then I thought, you know, like, what if I, you know, some people had said, well, you know, you should talk to your plants. And so I like, what if, and I remembered that What the Bleep movie, mm-hmm. where, you know, you put a label on the water and, or on yourself, and, you know, the words actually have a vibration. So if you put hate on yourself, you feel horrible, and you can actually measure, you know, the molecules become all dissonant. But if you put love on something, you know, the molecules actually kind of arrange into, you know, beautiful synchronicity around that. And so I thought about, like, what if I just, like, sing love songs, you know, while I'm in the garden to my little plants, and, you know, just see what happens. Mm-hmm. By the end of the summer, those nasturtiums were the most beautiful plants. And they looked like they were going to die, you know, they're several times, probably like I looked like on my life day. This one isn't going to make it. But, you know, with some love and care, bam, they were there. And I also was thinking about the apartment that I moved into a couple of years ago, and how hard that was for me, because I no longer had a backyard. And there were just things about it that I didn't think were very beautiful. And for quite a while, I was kind of in this sort of funk around it. And at one point, I decided, you know what? This is not how I want to experience this. So I started doing things that added a lot of beauty and that made me happy. You know, little art projects and things that I just really, you know, loved. And before long, you know, the gratitude that I had for this place to live in our crazy housing market, you know, it started just, you know, and it's just washed over me more and more. But it was from that conscious upshift, like thinking, I just need to take this to a different level because this is not working for me. So to start to just to make things beautiful, wherever we do that, it never fails. It never fails. And, you know, we know this works for people. You know, like teachers always say, when you, you know, refer kids who have learning disabilities, if you keep telling them they're smart and they can get this and they're wonderful and beautiful, you know, they thrive with that. Beautiful things become possible. It's the same with everything. We are so, when we connect to the source of beauty, which I think, you know, that our unified field that we know is love, we shine and we have the capacity to be lights in a dark world. We start to emanate truth and goodness and beauty and ease and grace. It's really, really important. The last practice I'm going to share is called Moments of Awe. And this is something that came to me when I was skiing, because I have this practice in the winter. I hike the Highlands Bowl about once a week because it's a really important pilgrimage for me during that hike. And sometimes it's hard and I don't want to do it, but I know that if I do it, it will take me to that incredible spot at 12,450 feet with a 360 degree view of heaven, and will blow me away and put me into a space that just is so humbling and yet so just makes me feel like a rock star whenever I'm up there. And I've realized how important just that feeling is. It's such a blessing, you know, just to put myself in a place that has me feel humbled about life and about what's possible. And it doesn't have to be, you know, such an incredible place like that. We can have a moment of awe just sitting under our favorite tree in our backyard and looking up at the leaves and listening to the birds and you know, just feeling that welling up of gratitude for life. We can have it when we see our favorite band in concert or just listen to one of their songs. You know, that can be a moment of awe at how beautiful they expressed something and how euphoric that can make us feel. E.B. White once wrote that I arise in the morning torn between the desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy it. This makes it difficult to plan the day. I arise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy it. This makes it difficult to plan the day. But, you know, when I read that, I think, you know, our enjoyment,
yes,
of the world is that improvement of it, is that frequency that we put ourselves into in that moment of joy. That is a blessing. That is us blessing that which we perceived. It's that connection between the perceiver and the perceived and the magic that's in that, in the beauty that we feel in that moment of awe, is the gift that we're giving. It is like a prayer. Having the ability to be in a space that puts us in that space of awe and wonder is a prayer for the world. And so I, you know, that's what I feel like when I sometimes don't want to even, you know, get up and get my stuff together and go skiing on this day that, you know, is maybe kind of cold and, you know, I feel like I have so much else to do. Like it never fails. You know, once I get up there, it's like, oh yeah, this is the prayer. This is where I want to be. This is the space that I want to be in. This is how I want to be experiencing life. And we're closest to what we value most in those moments. You know, in that moment of awe, you know, whether it's like the music that we're experiencing or the person that we love, you know, it's like we are connected to what we value most, and we're blessing that, we're expanding that in the world. And, you know, it's also there's also a piece of it around solitude that's an important, mm-hmm. because solitude contributes to creativity. We actually really need times when we're just in our own space, not plugged in even to a podcast or music, not consuming something, but we're just in our own space, in our open hearts, you know, and that whatever that space is, or that place that you love, or and getting the download that comes only through you. It's really important to give yourself that as part of this practice. So those are my best practices that I wanted to leave you with, to remind you to just walk in beauty and to just notice the ways that you already do, and that it's not sort of a luxury. It's actually a really, really important part of how we are catalyzing evolution in this moment on the planet. Beauty is that miraculous benefit to us in so many ways. Swift.